Well, hello and welcome. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to the Voices of Courage show today. You know, today we're going to take a dive into the psychology of your mind. We're going to be talking a little bit about what is it that is underneath the surface? What is it that's programming your thinking? Or maybe you're already programmed and maybe you're acting out in ways that you wonder, why am I acting this way? You know, maybe sometimes people are pushing your buttons and you're reacting, you're overreacting. Maybe you're in a place where you really want to accomplish something, but it's like you have this procrastination that shows up or lack of energy. What is underneath the surface that is causing these behaviors or lack of behaviors to show up in your life? Wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to understand your psyche in a little greater way? Well, that's what we're going to dedicate today, this show. And, you know, I've been working as a life coach, business strategist for 30 years now. And what I find is that what's under the surface is absolutely outpicturing in your life. Whether it's beliefs that you hold underneath the surface that are creating what I would call unconscious stress. Your body's stressed all the time, but you don't even realize it until you get sick, okay? A lot of people are walking with this, unconscious stress. A lot of folks are wanting to create a lot more happiness in their life, but what's stopping that happiness from being there? Well, we're going to address that today. And a lot of you, you're thinking, well, you know what? I'd like to maybe make some more money. I'd like to maybe heal a relationship. I'd like to do a lot of things, but I just don't, quote, know how. Well, I know is that the how is there. Sometimes we just have to peel the layers of limiting thought, limiting belief around your thinking so that the how can pop out and you start to realize you have full power in your life, right? Life isn't doing things to you, it's doing things for you. So if you're stuck in some way, it's like that's your next level of evolution. That's where you need to focus your time, energy, and effort to break through and break free so that you can live more joyously, more happy. You know, maybe you'll have a little more money in the bank if that's what you want, but definitely have great relationships and live a full and rich life with energy, vitality, and joy, right? Live from a place of joy. That's what we're talking about today. So let's take a deep dive into your psyche so that you can start to understand what it is that's holding you back. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I return, I'm going to have my first guest.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster of the Voices of Courage show. And my very special guest today is Cynthia Moore. Cynthia, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So for those of you that don't know Cynthia, she is an award-winning playwright and performer who wrote and directed theater in the Bay Area for over 20 years before leaving the theater to earn a master's degree in clinical psychology. She has worked as a mental health counselor for 23 years with a particular focus on the connection between spirituality and trauma. She's currently practices as a mentor, a grandmother, and a writer, and I'm a grandfather and a writer too, so we have that in common. That's awesome. Great. Hey, you know, this is interesting. You know, the that connection, you know, between our, you know, our mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health and our life is profound. It's deep. How did you get to that point where you realized that there's this connection there, and this is something you want to talk about and teach?
Well, the book that I wrote is a memoir, and it's about a life that was filled with, in the first half of it, many wrong turns and errors in judgment. And it came from a place of childhood trauma and a resulting desire to belong, to get affirmation, to get validation. And so I became an overperformer. I became a literal performer and a psychological overperformer. I was what the Buddhists call a hungry ghost, which means an insatiable sort of embodying a state of desperation and craving. And that led me to incredible dissatisfaction. About halfway through my life, I realized that what I needed to do was start to listen in rather than focusing outwards. So I made a huge change. I pivoted, went back to school in psychology, became a therapist, and really accomplished what I feel is finding authenticity, finding congruence, finding a connection between my inner and outer selves.
Well, that makes a lot of sense here. And you know, that finding that connection to the inner and outer self is no small feat. I think a lot of people live from the outside in as opposed to the inside out. What was the shift for you that took you into your heart, into your soul?
Well, I would say it was a dark night of the soul. You know, often when we have dissatisfaction in our lives, we are forced to take a leap into the unknown. Sometimes we give up a job. Sometimes we give up a relationship. And when we do that, something in us becomes absolutely desperate for help and for guidance. And so I quit the theater, which was the one place I had gone to for confirmation and validation. And I quit abruptly and sort of plummeted off a cliff into the unknown. And as you know, I know as a life coach, when we plummet into the unknown and open ourselves up to receive help from a greater source, it comes. And it led me into a master's program in psychology, and it led me to start listening more deeply and to start recognizing that my inner self, my soul, was more important than my ego. As Carl Jung said, the first half of life is about developing our ego and cultivating our life in terms of work and relationships and survival. And the second half of life is about cultivating the soul or the transcendent function. So that's what I did.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about the healing aspect of this and diving into finding the soul, finding the authenticity of the soul. And, you know, so what I heard you say is kind of your search for belonging, search for self-worth, search for understanding and wisdom led you into this deep dive into yourself. So when I think of getting to that place, we have to peel back the layers of deception and lies that we've told ourselves, or maybe we just bought into somebody else's belief system. You know, I mean, I don't think a lot of people want to, you know, we don't take on lies because they're quote lies. We just don't know the truth. Well, how do you peel back that layer? How did you peel it back? And, you know, how do you recommend people peel back the layers of misinformation?
Well, I took two different approaches. One was psychology. I went into therapy. I started peeling back the belief systems, as you pointed out, the patterns that had made me behave in the ways I was behaving, the artificial patterns, if you will, and started locating more of a sense of true self, my inner self. And that was one path. And the other path was I took up Buddhist meditation. And meditation is a way of silencing the mind and silencing the identities and silencing the striving that is sort of the human condition. And by finding that level of deep inner silence, I started to resonate with a whole other area of life.
Mm. Well, you know, it was Leonardo da Vinci that said, isolation is the price of greatness. And Yogananda said, stillness is the price of greatness. And I asked another amazing master, his name is Dr. Irvin Laszlo. And I said, what's the price of greatness? He says, living from knowing yourself and living from oneness. I think we have an identity crisis in America. I think we think that we're, you know, our possessions or our, you know, houses and cars, and it's what we have that identifies who I am. This is my identity. Or maybe we identify with an illness that we have or identify as something that's false. How do we get to the true identity of ourselves as a soul? You just mentioned meditation. And did it lead you there? Did you start to understand deeply what the soul is about?
Well, if you read my book, you'll see it took me about 25 years.
It takes what it takes, right?
It was a long, hard process, but you got to start at the beginning and you start with the suffering, right? You start with the pain. You start with that going deeper and deeper and meeting those parts of yourself that are deeply unhappy or deeply aggrieved, and you bring love to those and you bring healing to those gradually, step by step. And you also learn to, one of the things I learned in the theater that was so valuable was you learn to access different parts of yourself, because as a performer, you have to access a whole palette of personalities and characteristics and types. And so that became really useful in psychology, because I was able to access different dimensions of my own experience. You mentioned joy earlier. Can we access joy even in the middle of suffering? Can we access calm even in the middle of agitation? And when we are able to access both of those at the same time, something really starts to shift.
It takes a lot of work to get there, but everybody can get there. You know, I think Cynthia said that, you know, pain is a great motivator. I'll just rephrase it. Point, you know, we do have to feel the pain to make the change. I know that a lot of my own path, you know, I chased a lot of things so that I didn't feel the pain. You know, I used some alcohol, or I used drugs, I used shopping, I used sex, I used just about everything so I wouldn't feel the emotional pain. And the wounds from childhood, the wounds that I didn't want to feel, I didn't want to replay, I didn't want to think about them, right? But that led me, because when I stopped, I went, you know, I had a very smart doctor. He said, Ken, I came in and I to his therapy session. I was with him for a year, and I said, Doc, I'm hearing this voice. I gotta feel the pain to make the change. He said, What am I gonna do with that? He looked at me and he said, Ken, I can't help you anymore. You got to follow that voice. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the voice of courage. That was the voice of the intuition. And I did follow that voice. And that voice has led me to this brilliant life that I live today by just that one understanding, right? Feel it so that you can transition it, transcend it, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what do you say about that? What's your thought on that?
I think that's a beautiful story, Ken, because that's it right there in a nutshell, the ability to listen to our inner voice, to get quiet enough and still enough that the inner voice can be heard. And your inner voice told you exactly what you needed to do. And this doctor, bless his soul, was brilliant enough to say, go and follow that.
Isn't that amazing, though? I mean, he could have said, you know, come back next week, and he could have kept charging me for the next 5 years. Because I was, you know, I was in pain. I was suffering at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, basically, go feel your feelings. Go feel the pain, right? Don't try to mask it with something that you're, you know, drugs or alcohol or sex or shopping or eating food or, you know, eating lots of cookies. Don't do that. He said, let yourself feel it. It's so powerful.
Often we need someone to guide us, to hold our hands while we do feel it, because it's so painful. We often don't feel that we have the capacity to meet that kind of pain. So as a therapist, that's the work I do with people frequently, is just sit in the room with them while they meet their pain. Because sometimes it's so devastating and we become, in Buddhism, they talk about the little self and the big self. Right. The little self is the suffering self that has the childhood trauma, that has the agony of childhood relationship betrayals. And so when a client is in the little self, it often helps to have a container in the room, someone who can hold the bigger self and say, I can help you. I can help you hold this and tolerate this.
Yeah, I think our greatest psychiatrists, psychologists in the world are ones that have done the work themselves and raised their energy, raised their frequency and vibration into a higher place that can actually hold that space. What was your greatest pain that you had to transcend to become the healer that you are, the therapist? Yeah.
Well, my parents sent me away to boarding school when I was 11, and I wanted nothing more than to be taken home. And I kept asking, bring me home. I can't tolerate this. I was so lonely. I was suicidal at the time, and they couldn't. And my mother couldn't, and my father couldn't, and my sisters couldn't. And I had this sense of absolute abandonment. And so it took me a lifetime to learn how to trust people again and how to ask for help again and how to know that people will provide what they're capable of providing. And oftentimes that's not enough for our needs.
Yeah.
And then what do we do? Then where do we turn to? And I believe that childhood trauma often opens us up to a much grander spiritual dimension, because we're not getting our needs met. So where do we turn for those needs, for that ultimate sustenance? We turn to something bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I got to take a break. And when I get back, I want to talk a little bit more that you just touched on. The door to trusting in a greater way. And when I think about going home, which you just mentioned, I don't think of a physical home. I think of a higher dimensional home. So I want to touch on those little subjects here when we get back. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster, and I'm talking with Cynthia Moore, and we're talking a little bit about the depth of the soul and how to transcend your life, take your life to a completely new level. Let's go down that path of the healing path, actually, of discovering really at some level, you know, how to restore trust in our world. And taking ourselves home. But let's talk about trust for a second.
Well, I think one of the greatest mistakes we make as humans is we believe that we should be able to trust other humans to provide what we need. And a really great teacher once said, you can't trust other humans to do that because we're all limited. We have limited capacity. And so to recognize that humans can only give you so much. And if you can't get it from your mother, your father, your family, your friends, where do you get it? And to find that place in yourself, whether it's silence, whether it's the meditation cushion, whether it's church, whether it's a therapist, to find that place that provides the holding that you need and the healing that you need. And then you begin to find your way home. And I love what you said about home is internal. It's not external. It's a place in yourself. It's a place of coming to ground or coming to your true north, to your true self, to your authenticity.
Well, you know, it's a journey. We're all on this journey together. You know, life is a journey. We are here learning and growing and evolving. And, you know, it's not all work, right? I mean, I don't work all the time on myself. I take breaks. I go out and play. I do whatever I love, you know. But at the same time, I realize that, you know, this is pretty much a temporary state here. In fact, you know, some of the, you know, it's been described as a dream, right? It's been described as a movie that we're playing, you know, in the field of life as a movie. It's been described as a holographic, holotropic experience that we're walking in. And, you know, and within us is projecting, you know, out into the world, well, as within, so without, you know, and all of that's good information. But I think we have to apply these principles in our life. And so how do you teach people to apply this in their life? And then I want to get into your book after we answer that. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of steps I would say. One is you have to be pretty ruthless about confronting your own patterns. You have to be pretty ruthless about noticing where you're using strategies that are not true to yourself and dismantling those to the best of your ability. You have to be able to calm your nervous system, because so much of trauma resides in our nervous system in the fight, flight, freeze modalities. And so finding techniques, for me, it was meditation, it was Buddhism, finding techniques to calm the nervous system, to regulate the nervous system and bring us out of that sympathetic arousal state so that we can begin to find joy and find calm and find peace. And also being able to build relationships and to be able to tolerate the conflict and the disappointment and the pain that comes with relationships. So those are just three things that I would mention right off the bat.
That's great. You have a new book out. It's called Dancing on Coals, Cynthia Moore. I know you're a storyteller. Mm-hmm. So what when somebody reads the stories in the book, what's going to happen to them? You know, what are some of the benefits that they might receive by tuning into the Dancing on Coals?
Well, I like to think that they will experience a visceral experience of going from a desperate, seeking, craving state into a gradual discovery of calm and peace and congruence and finding the answers. And I like to think that my writing kind of expresses that in a way where you can feel it in your body, and you might be able to recognize that craving in your body. And you might also be able to recognize those moments of peace or those moments of oneness that you talked about earlier that are also in the book, and how those two experiences thread in and out of each other over and over again, often until we become more fully established in the peace or in the joy or in the oneness.
Yeah. You know, one thing I've learned about peace is, you know, you can make it really hard to find peace, or you can choose to make it easy for you to find peace. Mm. You can tell yourself every day that this will never come my way. I don't know what peace is. I got to look up the definition of peace. It doesn't even happen for me. Or you can say, you know, just for this moment, I'm going to feel some peace. And every time you feel that peace, you can tell yourself, you know what? It's getting easier and easier for me to feel peace. So there's steps that we can take to really have peace in our lives and joy in our lives. Mm. I think you mentioned meditation is the key. Mm. Meditation, stilling, you know, it's been said that it's harder to, you know, you can go out and, you know, and tame a wild lion. You can go out and, you know, and travel the world. You can go out and you know, learn to be the greatest diver, you know, go down the, you know, the 400 feet as a free diver. You can learn that. But what's harder than all that is mastering the mind. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but that's how we do it, through meditation. Where can we get Dancing on Coals?
You can get it at any bookstore. You can find it at your local bookstore, order it on any of the e-tailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There's an Audible copy on Spotify and various other. The audiobook is available also. So, yeah.
Now, you probably haven't been asked this question, but I'm going to ask you, what is not in Dancing on Coals?
Oh, that's a really interesting question, because I think it's all in there. Yeah, okay. I tried to really lay bare my soul, so I didn't hide much, and I let you in on all my idiosyncrasies and my flaws. So there's not much that didn't make it into the book in terms of that.
I love that. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that it doesn't, we don't need inspiration now and then. We don't need courage now and then. We need it every single day, right? And we need stories like your book, stories that are in your book, to keep us inspired and growing and learning. And what I get, you know, I haven't read it cover to cover, but what I get is that your heart and soul are in there, and your transformations, like you said, your authenticity is there. And, you know, for others to be able to learn through that. Is that pretty accurate?
I would say so. And, you know, one of the comments I keep getting is that it's funny. So it's not just full of suffering and grief, but there's a lot of humor in it, too. I tried to combine the two.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as a neuroscientist have learned, you know, humor and laughter seems to be very important for our healing journey. And it's something that we need to bring in more and more. Any tips on how to bring that? Oh, I know one tip: go get Dancing on Coals. But what? Any other tips?
Well, laugh at yourself. You know, I just decided when I was writing the book, I was going to expose everything and make it funny. Yeah. And because I didn't want to be self-flagellating for my readers, but I wanted to be lighthearted. And, you know, the author Annie Lamott is so good at that. She's so good at writing vulnerably with great humor. And so I was aspiring to that style of authorship.
Well, you know, I know when I first started this journey, I definitely, took myself too seriously. You know, and all my look good stuff would be out there. I mean, even when I started these shows, right? And, you know, I'd have to look a certain way and have a perfect camera angle and, you know, all this. It just took a lot of time to be that person. Mm. And, you know, and then I was really hard on myself, right? Mm-hmm. If something didn't go wrong, I'd start, you know, chastising myself, right? I think a lot of people do that. How do they break that cycle? You've been doing this for a while.
Well, I think you got to notice the voices, right? You notice the voice that is beating you up. You notice the voice that says you didn't do that well. You befriend those voices. You meet them with compassion and kindness, because they're wounded parts of you. So all the different parts of you are in there. And the more we can meet them with kindness, the more they relax and become helpers in our psyche rather than demons in our psyche.
I think there's a part of this is about healing all the, you know, the thousands of little pieces that we have scattered around, that, you know, we bring it back to make ourselves whole. And that's what you're talking about here. It's that place where we let go of and just kind of surrender the fears, the ego fears, the egocentric fears, and we allow ourselves to explore, become curious again, become in wonder and awe in our lives. Wonder and awe are, if you haven't experienced that lately, think of something that you can bring you to awe. Maybe you go see a sunset or go watch the moonrise or just watch a little baby, you know, that's been born or, you know, one, they don't have to be born. You say, I'm always in awe of little children because they're so joyful. You know, so it's that place where we can reconnect our soul, our self to ourself and let go of all the misinformation. You know, it's interesting for me. I bet you've experienced this. You know, I had to redevelop an understanding of what my nature was and what my creator's nature was. I really had to explore what that was because, you know, I grew up Catholic and I grew up in this place where I had this vengeful, jealous, punishing creator. And I had to look at that and I said, yeah, well, is that who I am? I mean, if I'm made in this image, is that really who I am? I think that a lot of that, you know, I touched on that early in my in transcending my limitations, that I'd look at that and rethink that. What do you think about that?
That's so painful. There are so many of us that have religious trauma.
Yeah.
That have that painful image of the divine that we have to overcome and override in order to find a loving image of the divine. So you had a double task before you. You had to deconstruct this vengeful God in order to find a loving God. And some people aren't, I didn't have that. I didn't have a vengeful God to deconstruct. So we was able to sort of explore in that world and find the sacred in a way that was much more available to me. But that's so painful when God is presented to us as cruel and judgmental and vengeful.
Well, you know, what happens is that, you know, as within, so without, we project that into the world. So not only is the God within this revengeful person, now I'm a revengeful, you know, entity or a person. Not only am I unkind and loving and, I become this punishing, you know, person, right? That's kind of where, you know, that's what happens. And I think a lot of people have that religious trauma. And, you know, if you can look at yourself and say, well, wait a second, what's my image of this divine? And how is that being projected into the world through me? You can really get some insight onto maybe some of your own, you know, trauma or wounds to be able to transcend that and go, well, you know, that's not really who I am. Right.
And I like to think, you know, the Buddhists don't really believe in a God figure. So that's, you know, the divine is not part of their cosmology. But in my version of it, there is a divine figure. I kind of mix and match.
Yeah.
But I do think that that bigger self is the divine self, right? So when we're able to look at the world through the eyes of the divine self or the loving self or the wise self, we're seeing through God's eyes, and we can cultivate that in ourselves, that ability to see through those wise eyes. And even when we're in pain or being reactive, as you mentioned earlier in the show, when we have these reactive moments or reactive patterns, can we pause and take a breath and access that bigger self, that wise self, and say, all right, sweetheart, you're triggered right now. You're activated. You're being reactive. Take a breath, calm down, calm your nervous system, and come home.
I love that. Well, you know, you're like I mentioned earlier, you're an expert at storytelling. So when I get back, I'd like my audience to maybe listen to your wisdom about recreating their own stories in their own life and how that might look. So we'll be right back. Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential
break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you. If you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just return it for a full refund.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Let's talk about story, as I mentioned. You know, a lot of people have made up stories about who they are and what they're about, and they're living that story. And as within, so without, you're projecting that story out into the world. How do we people, you know, you're a great storyteller in your book, and you've told these beautiful stories. On a personal note, how do people reframe their own story, right?
Well, I think it's about voice. It's about finding your voice. And as a writer, people are always talking about find your voice, find your authentic voice. And, you know, the first half of my life was I spent mostly in male theater companies. I was driven to perform. I was driven to do a really high octane physical form of theater. And I kept comparing myself to men and competing with men and utilizing testosterone as my currency. And that wasn't my voice. It was something I used to try to find power, and it worked for a while as a young woman, but it wasn't my authentic voice. And so I had to dismantle that and take it apart and say, if that's not my voice, what is? And so the process of writing this book was one of figuring out what combination of humor and vulnerability, of revelation and wisdom, of mistaken identity and truth-telling I wanted to portray. And so in the process of that, I found my voice and I found how to tell my story. And I think the key word is vulnerability. You have to know how to open your heart.
And a lot of us, when we start on this path, don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want people to see our mistakes. We don't want people to judge us about those mistakes. We're afraid. We're afraid of what people might say or think or do. How does one, especially writing a book, right? How do you go, you know what? I'm going to set that aside And I'm going to be real and authentic, and I'm going to tell stories of truth and courage and love and wisdom. How do we get there? How did you get there?
Well, the first draft of this book I sent to a developmental editor, and her comment was, you need to get vulnerable. And I did not know what that meant. I was clueless. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know what it meant. So I kept doing passes back again through the book going, how do I open up this scene where my mother is in the boarding school in Switzerland and she won't take me home with her and I'm crying as though my eyes are going to fall out? How do I open my heart and let the reader in to that scene? And it took me years of sort of peeling back the stories I had already written to figure out how to get vulnerable in those same stories. It was a process.
Wow. How long did it take to write the book?
Well, I'd say probably about 15 years.
Wow. Okay. I get it. So this, yeah. Okay. So if someone wants to know how to get vulnerable, they better read about vulnerability first. I'm going to put Dancing on Coals back on the screen here so that, again, this is Cynthia's book, 15 years to write, getting completely vulnerable, telling stories that will move your heart, take you to a completely new understanding of your own inner journey. I think this is profound. They can get it on Amazon. Cynthia Moore is the author, by the way. Cynthia Moore, Amazon, right, Cynthia?
That's right. Amazon or any local bookstore. Use your local bookstores if you can.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We want to keep them in business. Right. Okay. Well, we're taking a deep dive in those limiting beliefs that people have there. I'll just say this. Limiting beliefs leave symptoms, okay? They leave symptoms of anger or resentment or dissatisfaction or a place inside of you where you just don't feel well. They leave symptoms of disease, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. So there's some work to do here, right? Symptoms. Once we identify the symptom, how do we go about letting go of the limiting beliefs? As a therapist, I want to hear your point of view there.
Well, I tend to work through the body. So I am interested in the limiting beliefs, but I'm more interested in how they reside in your body. Mm-hmm. So I will often say when a client says, I want to kill my husband because he's judging me. I will often say, let's close your eyes and just feel into that place in your body. How does it feel when you're in that belief? What is your body doing? Where is it tightening? Where is it holding that belief? And what is the belief? So the belief might be, usually it comes from childhood, right? It might be, I'm not loved. And when you locate that in your body and you locate how you hold it and how you carry it, it often goes hand in hand with realizing that it's not the truth. It's just a place that you're inhabiting in that moment. It's a place you got caught in that moment. And so once you realize that and we bring compassion and we bring love and kindness to that, then can you step outside that place, that small self place, and access a place where it's bigger, where your wise self can see, oh, this happens when my husband does this and when I do that. This is the pattern that we have together, the dynamic. And so by being able to bring that bigger self, that wiser self, we can soften the hold of that limiting belief.
I just love that. I'm so glad I asked that question. And I'm so glad you've been here with us today. Any final thoughts for the audience today?
I just encourage people to write your own story, tell your own truth, find your own voice, and put it out there. It's an amazing healing journey to do that.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here, Cynthia. I really appreciate you. The book is Dancing on Coals, and Cynthia Moore is the author. Take care. Thanks, Cynthia. And for all of you, I want to thank you for joining our show today, Voices of Courage. You know, If you would like to find out and not miss a show, okay, find out all the shows we've done, go to and subscribe at YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, so that you don't miss any of our shows. So we hope you'll do that. Until next time, remember to look for and see the unseeable, know the unknowable. And if you'll do that, eventually you'll be able to do the impossible. Take care.